shower, so I'm just there to butt all I want.
Can y'all see the board okay?
Yeah.
What are we waiting for? Well, Bob, you want to come on in? Yeah, it's like 7 o'clock, brother. Yeah.
Hey,
Beverly's
not here yet. She's going away.
Okay.
Is Beverly coming?
Yes.
She saw her get in her car because over there in
Franklin. All right. We'll go ahead and get started. And we expect a few more coming as the time goes. Maybe we may lose a few. There's one already leaving.
Yeah.
We gain a few and lose a few.
It's like it's an odd thing around this place. We're transmitting live to 6 billion people around the world. I know a couple people have already Facebooked me and text me. If you want to text me, and if you have questions or if you want to make a comment or you want to yell at Carlton for not getting zoomed in close enough, the number is 334-669-0920. Text only. I won't answer a phone call. Well, I might if it's really interesting. Anyway, are you ready?
Yeah.
Wait a moment.
Do you do this at your mom's Bible study? Calming these people down is like herding cats.
I know.
Except we could herd her cats.
Oh my
goodness. You
know.
I was sad actually. I was thinking about your husband. I was really sad for you. But I was thinking about your husband. He is smiling the whole day. I don't know what's in.
Gotta go all the way around.
You have to go all the way around.
I stayed home and made a breakfast yesterday morning.
You did?
I did.
Aw, shit.
How are you?
Yeah.
You did. Who else came in?
That's the timeline from eternity past to eternity future. That's approximately 7,000 years. Approximately. People want to argue over a year or two. I don't care. You know? I've studied this Bible now for 30 years, and one of the things I do know is there are very few people that know very anything about this book. And it's approximately, did I say approximately? 4,000 years of what we would consider to be biblically Old Testament. Now, that does include the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this would be Genesis through Malachi. And time is ticking along. Jesus Christ dies. The Holy Spirit comes down in Acts chapter 2. There's Acts chapter 2. And the saving of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. And then there'll be a catching out of the church. And a lot of people are confused about the rapture. But the rapture is not a biblical term. Is that board leaning? It's driving you crazy.
No, you just drew crooked.
That's what I was saying. Yes. Oh, I thought you said that.
Really?
All right, now, how do you get this thing? All right, well, let's raise this one up. All right. Anyway, well, now it's at least straight. My line is straight. Is that confusing on the internet? Anyway, Romans through Philemon is right here. Did you fix it?
No, looks fine.
Okay. Did you fix it? That needs to go down. No, yeah, the other down. It works a lot better with those rubber bands. I only wanted to come up there.
Is that better?
That is much better. Thank you. And then the books of Hebrews through Revelation. And that includes that 1,000-year millennial reign over there. And there's been approximately 2,000 years of church age, basically. That's kind of how it's laid out. And it's been laid out like that for thousands of millenniums. And all eternity. It was designed that way by God. God designed it. God had a plan that happened before the foundation of the world. And so a lot of people don't understand all this creation, everything, the temple, everything that God had to do was in the design of all of this. And the one misconception that everybody makes, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, read with me, if you will, in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did it say that God was going to bless you if you gave up smoking? Didn't say that. Didn't say, well, gosh, you know, if you give up sin, God's going to bless you. I mean, I've heard preachers say that from the pulpit, that what you need to do is give up some of these things and God will start to bless your life. Well, that's not true. God has already blessed you with what? All spiritual blessings. Everything that could possibly be spiritually towards you has happened. And he said in verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him, that is in the church, the body of Christ, in him, before the foundation of the world. So we can place on our timeline things that are very important. There was something that God did before eternity passed, before he spoke all this into existence. He chose the church, which is his body, and the people in there. You say, do you believe in predestination? I do, but not in the sense that he's predestinated you to be saved. That's your choice. Mm-hmm. Once you're saved, you are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. You all understand? You are going to end up making that body whole and complete, which God did. But the idea that I want you to do is God had a plan before the foundation of the world. And so that everything that came into existence to fulfill his plan. Look at it again. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy, and I appreciate you joining us via the web. And in the class. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. You might want to put out there Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And Titus, get your Bible pen out. You're not going to remember this. You'll want to write it down. And Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Write that down. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose, which was given us in Christ Jesus when?
Before
the world began. So even before He spoke it into existence, even before He did all that, God had a plan for these people right there, which is the church, the body of Christ. You got it? And so you've got to start to see the foundation of how God started the whole thing. Now, you know what is fascinating to me? Is that the redemptive story is all the way through the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. It isn't like in one place, because when you get here, You ought to understand the concepts of everything he started, because he had planned this all before he even spoke the earth into existence. It wasn't like, okay, let's see what men are going to do. It wasn't like, you know, you got God as an old grand, great grandpappy with long beard and sitting up in a rocking chair, kind of like him, and rocking. Alright? That's not God. Okay? He ain't sitting up there rocking in a rocking chair and wondering what's going to go on next. Y'all understand? By design, he designed everything. And he designed it in a way that is the guy that really caused him some headaches wouldn't get it. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah 12, I believe it is. That's not it. Isaiah 14, I guess it is.
Can you see there?
Where? Well, it's a little dark in the corner. Do you have all those lights? Oh, turn that light on back there. That would help.
I didn't know it would mess 14, up.
14,
13. Huh?
14, 13.
Yeah, 14, 13. Okay. He says, I'm going to start in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations, that thou, and on and on. And he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit, all of that thing. And God caused him to fall because of his pride and his arrogance there. And I want you to see how that fits in to all the plan. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Now I want to read, get Genesis chapter 1 in one hand, and turn the page and get Genesis chapter 2 in the other hand. Now watch it, it's fascinating. Watch what the Bible says. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You got it? What's the difference between Genesis chapter 1:1 and Genesis 2:1? Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. You have a singular heaven in one and a plural, and that is by design. Listen, let me tell you what. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the heaven and the earth, and it was in one fellowship. Look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. Well, it wasn't without form and void in verse 1. The earth was destroyed. There it is, right there. It is like taking a mud ball, and you have the earth in your hand, and God created the heaven and the earth, but then it became void and without form. It's like taking a mud ball and putting it into water. What would happen to that piece of dirt? It would dissolve. And that's exactly what happened. I believe then was what you just read about the fall of Lucifer. Now, you got to remember, I don't know how many years ago that was. I can't tell you. That's a pre-Adam world. This is basically from Adam over. I don't know how old this earth is. But it became without form and void. And what does form and void mean? Without form and void. It has no shape. It had shape at the beginning because God created the heaven and earth. But notice that thus the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. Now, this isn't the sun and the moon, because He doesn't create that until later. Mm-hmm. And God called the light day, notice capital D, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Well, look in verse 16. We'll start in verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be a sign for the seasons and for the days and for the years, and let there be lights in the firmaments of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the lesser light to rule the night. Which one was that?
Moon.
That's the moon. And He made also the stars, and He gave on and on. So, and then the other one He gave to rule over the day, which is the sun. This over here has to do with good and evil, light and dark. It has to do with division. But I want you to notice that without the Spirit of God moving upon you, there isn't anybody who could just all of a sudden say, I'm going to get saved. And this represents man in Adam, and then fallen Adam, and then He resurrects that earth. And that's the earth that Adam was actually born on. That's right here. That's this earth. And this one was destroyed, brought back, and this is the one He put the plants and the trees and the lesser lights and all that. And don't listen to the guy that spoke for me while I was gone that day. The sun doesn't go around the earth. I don't know where he got that from. I told him he was an idiot. You know, I don't know where he got that. But that, listen, we're not even on that planet.
Right,
because then the flood came in Genesis chapter 6 and destroyed it. And then God, this is the earth we, well, that should go a little bit further. That's the earth we live on now. You got it? And that planet is the one you know, but it's going to be destroyed. In the tribulation, in 7 years, there would be 3.5 years of it that it is like hell on earth. There's going to be people that will climb into the caves and ask the caves to fall on them in that period of time. And that's called the tribulation period. That matches up that right there. It's the judgment of God. You got it? And then He's going to create another earth that's going to last how long?
1,000 years.
And guess what's going to happen at the end of that period of time? The earth is going to completely melt to where the elements will even melt. And that will represent that right there. And then He will create a new heaven. And I can't get it in there. Sorry about that. A new heaven and a new earth that will be just like the very first one without any sin or anything in it that will
occur. Wow.
That was the plan of God.
How many earths is that?
Huh?
How many earths?
I don't know.
One, two, three, four, five.
Five's the number of death. Five's the number of grace. I'm pretty cool. And the point that I'm making about this is God just didn't just all of a sudden go, huh, I wonder what's going on. He had a plan from the very get-go. These were both destroyed with water. These will both be with fire.
Mm-hmm.
Very fascinating. As this is a garden, that's a garden. You got it? As there's no sin here, there'll be no sin there. It'll all be redeemed. And so people, when they read the Bible, they just, you know, they start going, oh, I'll read Psalms or Proverbs. Oh, I feel good, you know. And they have no idea of the concept of what God was really up to. Because see, He planned this before. Now, there's been some things that He's done since the world began. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 1. Look in Luke chapter 1. Now, there's some things that He's planned since it all happened. In Luke chapter 1, Look, if you will, in verse 68. Y'all there? Luke 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David. Well, that didn't fit us, does it? No. As He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which has been since the world began. So there were some prophets that came along that spoke for God after this. And those prophets had to do with this earth right here. And they have been speaking for nearly 4,000 years. And it's not been before the foundation of the world. It's been since it was formed. So it was after this earth was formed that those things were done by God. But there's something that was done before the foundation of the world. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you don't get any other concept out, you are the object of God's affection. The reason I'm here is not just to merely take up breath here and show you how brilliant and beautiful I am. It is to show you how incredible and marvelous this book is. This book is incredible. And anybody who doubts this book ought to be a little bit on the crazy side. Y'all understand? And so God had a plan before the foundation of the world, and He couldn't let this plan out. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians. I'm attacking this a little bit different so that you can see the other, you know, some of the other sides and add some things to it. So I hope I don't lose you in my strange attack at this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Now watch this. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained when? Before the world. Well, this is what I'm talking about, this little plan that He had over here is called a what?
Mystery.
And there's going to be a reason why He has to keep that a mystery back here, and that some of this stuff has been since the world began, because whatever He got here, He can't let out. Look what He says about this. Verse 7 again. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the what?
Mystery.
The mystery that was given before the world. Mm-hmm. Had they known what was back here, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So whatever secret was back here, had they known it in the Old Testament back here, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. That's what the Bible says.
We need to all go to hell.
Pretty much.
Well, especially the Gentiles.
Oh,
yeah.
Israel too. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If He doesn't get up there, it's done. So God had a secret. And the secret started before He ever even spoke the earth into existence. I mean, it isn't like, you know, He thought, well, you know, all of a sudden I'm going to come up with a plan. And that wasn't the dealy-willy. The dealy-willy was He had a plan that He started when He started that very first earth right there. The one that Satan fell from. You got it? And that plan never changed. And the reason that He was keeping it, because He knew that Lucifer would do what He said he would do if he didn't gain victory. There's something back here that's got to be kept secret. And it was kept secret. And you know what? It's secret from your relatives right now today.
Amen.
You know, you go to show them, they're like, are you kidding me? Oh, you're crazy. I was talking to Shaven about Jesus Christ going to hell for your sins. Mm-hmm. You all realize that Jesus Christ went to hell for your sins?
Right.
And he says, well, people just freak out when you say that. Well, sorry. Freak all you want. That's the good news too. You know, you can freak but get saved. You know? Freak all you want but get saved. You know? And so God started the deal. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Well, I'm starting 2. Might as well go all the way through the Bible tonight.
There you go.
It's like that Bible salesman, you know, he had a lift and he couldn't talk very good. And he goes around trying to sell Bibles and he became the world's greatest Bible salesman. And they asked him, said, how did you do that? He said, it was really easy. I'd knock on the door and I'd show him the Bible and I'd say, look at this Bible, it's black, it's a beautiful gold thread, and it's a beautiful Bible, it's just the most beautiful Bible. And look, on every page, it's printed black with gold trim on every page. Look at page 1. Page 2. And inevitably, they always bought on page 1. Anyway, so the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. You know what you actually are?
Dirt.
You're 2 pounds of dirt. When you're cremated and you're done, you're 2 pounds of dirt.
Some more, some less.
Yeah. What are you saying? Don't look at me like that and say, some more and some less. This is fluid buildup. Verse 7. And God formed man, verse 7, of the dust of the ground, and breathed in him the nostril, in his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Now, I want you to, I got to go back to Genesis 1. I skipped one little concept. One wee little concept. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I believe in the Trinity. If you don't believe in the Trinity, that's okay. You can be wrong the rest of your life. But this is what God said. And God said, let us. You see that in verse 26? Let us. That's the Trinity. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I might put 1 John 5, verse 7 there if I was brave enough in my Bible. And he said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. Well, now hang on. I can look around and Curtis is, you know, kind of ugly and his beautiful wife is absolutely beautiful. And then you got beautiful Rhoda and then you got, oh my gosh, Dave. You know, and we all look different. You understand? We got beautiful Sam. And then ugly Bob. I don't even know what to say about Steve.
Did I miss something?
Yeah, see, that's for talking. I got you. Everybody keep it quiet until the end. So how do we look like God? How do we look like God?
That was
a
Trinity.
Huh? We're a Trinity just like God is. We have a flesh,
a
soul, and a spirit. And as God is a tri-union being, by the way, just so that you know, your cat just died. It doesn't have a soul. It's not going to go to hell. Okay? And that's, by the way, boys and girls, what makes us different than the animal kingdom. You all understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, I love these humanistic people that think the dolphins are the smartest things in the world. They are not. They ain't built no Smithsonian Institute. They haven't written Shakespeare. Amen? They ain't smarter than you. Look, when I see a lion, I'm smart enough to run. Some of them deers just freeze. You know, we see the lion come like, or have you ever seen a deer in the headlight? You know, it reminded me of that joke, you know, a guy ran over a cat on the way over here. And I saw him knocking at the door, and he went to the door and he said, what did the cat look like? And he said, he said, before he died. You know, that's kind of the way it is, amen? We are made in the image of God in the fact that we're a triune being. You got it? That was the problem. And by the way, you know that Adam was made in the image of God. You know how you know? He had no mother-in-law. Think about that for a minute.
So bad.
That was pretty good. What? No, that was bad. I'm sorry.
That was
anyway, God made, but hold it. The problem was, is man fell. You think God knew man was going to fall?
Absolutely.
He put him in the garden in verse 16 of chapter 2 now. And he says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Notice the colon mark. Do you see the colon? Now the colon is a very unusual part of the English language. It means that what's coming after is more true than what's behind it. It's an explanation, furtherance of knowledge. You got it? I know people don't like my English lessons, but...
They're needful.
They're needful.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what the colon means. Now watch. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, as time ticked along, and time's ticking along, guess what Adam does? His wife eats of the tree, and I personally believe he loved Eve. I believe the reason, this is just a person, it doesn't say this in the Bible, I'm just giving you a thought. I believe he didn't want to be away from Eve. And when he did, he figured he was going to die, she was going to die. And I'm going to die with it. I believe it was like a Romeo and Juliet deal, and I believe that's where Shakespeare got it from. I do. I'm not kidding you. I think Shakespeare read that and thought, man, that has got to be real love.
He was right there.
He was right there. And when she ate it and gave it to him to eat, he did eat. And it was almost like a suicide pact in that sense that he loved her so much. He didn't want to be away with. But look what happened after they ate it. And of course, Satan's all involved, you know. I mean, you know how Satan is. And Genesis chapter 3 now, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now they were clothed. They weren't naked anymore. They now have aprons over their winky dinkies. And they ain't running around naked. Now before it didn't bother them. But all of a sudden they have...
Go on.
Better grab that one. That didn't sound good. So they're covered. But let me tell you, they knew that they had eaten of the tree. Now, they didn't immediately die, did they?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just drop over dead like they'd drinking poison hemlock or something. Verse 8. Now, watch this. Very fascinating. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Well, they were already clothed. Why were they hiding themselves? It never got away or gave away. The fig leaves, which is, represents religion, never ever gets away from the guilt. And the Lord God called on them out. Where art thou? And he said in verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. Was he?
No,
he was clothed. And I hid myself. His conscience was born. man then, all of a sudden, from that point on, has a conscience. And now, instead of being made in the image of God, look what happens. Go to Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, I want you to read with me in verse 1. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. Fascinating stuff. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, He created him in the likeness of God, made He him, male and female, created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. And in the day, and by the way, they didn't call it Adam and Steve. It was Adam. The woman lost her entire identity in the man. And those two become one flesh. Women might do well to heed to that. Huh? And Adam lived 130 years. Now watch, this is the important part of this. And he begat a son in his own likeness. What likeness? Like God's likeness? No, as in fallen man. So man now has become fallen just like this was fallen earth. You got it? The story's being told from the very beginning of the Bible. God puts the redemption right in the very beginning, what happens, so that He can explain it throughout the entire Bible. It isn't like He wants you to be confused. He tells it in the first 4 or 5 verses. The fall... go to Romans chapter 5. Now go to Romans chapter 5 and we'll pick up the story and tie it together. In Romans chapter 5, read with me, if you will, in verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Are we boring anybody yet? Everybody still okay? Anybody need oxygen? A shot of whiskey? Okay, we'll keep going then. I don't know, but, you know, using wine for thy stomach's sake and thy oft infirmity, I found that Jack Daniels worked better. I'm kidding. You know, some people don't know when I'm kidding. And I had someone watch this program and he says, I think they got your jokes. I'm like, I hope so. Verse 12. Now watch this. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Man, you had the story right there. And he started producing people after his own likeness in this fallen state. And so people think the problem in their life is sins. That's what they think is the problem. I mean, it's amazing. You go to church after church after church, they're trying to get rid of your sin. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I mean, come down and confess your sins. How many here has confessed a sin in front of the church? Come on, quit faking it. How many go down there and they boo-hoo and, oh God, take my sins and I'm going to be better, and they're lying right through their teeth. They know if the IRS shows up, they're going to lie again. They lied on the tax form when they first filed it. Amen. Well, I'm not sure about this mileage. I think I went, yeah, a little further. You know how people are, right? That's because you're a fallen Adam. And by one man, notice what happened. As by one man, it didn't say sins entered into the world. What happened?
Sin
entered in. That's the problem. You don't even have to commit sins and you're still going to have a problem with sin. How do I know that?
Because we're bad sin.
Well, that's true, but come on, a little bit more. How do we know that sin is the problem and not sins?
We're born in sin.
How do we know that?
Because we're bad.
Babies die.
Everybody.
You understand? Babies died. They didn't get out and look at pornographic stuff on the computer like some of you guys have. Amen. He and that baby didn't get out and light that stogie. Is that what they call them? Stogie. It didn't go down to the movie show and do all that. Amen. It didn't come out and say, "You sorry sack of baloney." It hadn't committed sin, yet it died. Look in Romans chapter 6. Stay with Romans chapter 5. We're going to swing back. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin, not sins, the wages of sin is death. What you are in Adam is what causes death. What you were made. People say, "Well, I'm going to confess my sins and get into heaven." It ain't going to happen because it's not going to change what you are. Amen. It's not going to change what you are. You are sin. Mm-hmm. You can quit all the sins you want and you will still be Adam. Hold on to here and go to 1 Corinthians 15. Hold on, I'm going to come back, so don't lose it. I'd get my Bible pen out if I was you. Who said that? Oh, he's like full of baloney. He's probably going to go to hell.
He's a liar.
He's a liar. 1 Corinthians 15. Now watch this. For as in Adam, all die. Everybody born onto Adam, since he fell in the image of Adam, all what?
Die.
Because they sinned?
No.
No, because they're born in Adam. That's the dealy willy. Thank you, Leonard. Praise the Lord. I got one amen. It was on the text, but that's okay. I'm not going to beg for him tonight. Now, here's the dealy willy. What was the law that Adam broke? Let me give you a hint. It was a dietary law. Thou shalt not eat. It was a dietary law. He did. He was disobedient anytime you break the law, but it was a dietary, not to eat of that tree. Now, go back to Romans chapter 5. Now, this is a fascinating thing. Fascinating. Is this fascinating you? Mac, are you fascinated, brother? I'm fascinated. Look in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 again. And this stuff gets even better. Because people think it's sins that are the problem, and it's sin that is the problem. But look at this. I can prove to you that it isn't sins. Hold on to here. I told you to go to Romans 5. I want you to go to 1 John. Ooh, I'm getting out of Romans to time. Verse 4. 1 John 3, verse 4. Yeah. Whosoever committeth sins transgresses also the what? Law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So to commit a sin, like sins, like you're smoking, drinking sins, you have to break the what?
The law.
The law of God, right? Mm-hmm. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Watch. Verse 13. Well, let me read 12 again just to get the context, just to get you flowing, your juices going. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, I put Romans chapter 6, verse 23 right there if I was you in my Bible. Take your time, write it out. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin is in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, even though there is no imputation, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now, why is that period of time important? Can you all understand this chart?
Need the eraser?
Yes, it's a little late now. I've got my fingers.
Napkin.
From Adam's fall until Moses is how many years?
2,500.
Approximately 2,500 years. You know what? There is no law in between here. What happened to the one tree? It was guarded by a flaming cherubim. The sword. And they couldn't get in and sin like Adam sinned. There was only one commandment. Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. That's what God said. One law, but nobody can sin like that. Why? He's got the flaming sword out of the front of the garden so they can't get back in. And it wasn't to protect them from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was to protect them from the tree of life. Because if they got into that tree, they would have been eternal sinners forever. And so God put the flaming sword in there so they couldn't. But for 2,500 years, there's no law. And you know what happened in that 2,500 years? People died and died and died and died and died without any law, without any commandments of God, without... People said, well, you need to keep the commandments. You can say, these didn't even have any commandments and they died. They died because what they were in Adam. I mean, I get so sick of people, I want to vomit.
Did they not have a Savior at all?
No, neither did you. What are you acting like? You just came to this knowledge. I mean, all of us thought we were going around being good. Oh, we're going to dress right. We're going to wear our bonnets just right. We're going to do this and that. And we're just acting like Joe Christian. And the problem is what you are in Adam. And you can take that plant and you can dress it up and you can quit it smoking. And some people can quit the adultery and some people can quit that. But you know what? You can't quit being in Adam. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't make me beg again. 2,500 years it went out without any law or commandments. The commandments came in with Moses. That's what God's trying to tell you in Romans chapter 5. And that's the first time the law enters in. And yet, all along the path, for 2,500 years, people died. What do you think they died? Say, well, it's because they sinned. There were no commandments. And in fact, look what God said. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned... Isn't this like a little bit amazing? That's a wee bit amazing.
There.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitudes of Adam's transgression. Why could they... And the word similitude, if that's a little hard in the English language for you, it means likeness. Similarities. Similitudes. You got it? Why could they not sin after the likeness of Adam's transgression?
Because
they couldn't go in. You know why God did that? He had a plan for it all to be taken care of before the foundation of the world, but He can't tell anybody. They have no clue there's something back here. There's a mystery, but they haven't figured it out. Go back to Genesis. Boy, isn't this amazing? Aren't you glad you have me as your Bible teacher tonight? Go to Genesis.
Old man.
In Genesis chapter 6, and there are some fallen angels in the Bible. that followed Lucifer, about a third of them thereabouts. And they came down and looked at these Mennonite girls and said, I mean, basically. And they took wives of all that they did. Verse 4, he says, and giants were in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children unto them, and they became mighty men that were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it had repented the Lord. I always love people say, well, you got to repent. That's turning away from your sins. Well, God repented. Just said God repented. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creepy things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I had made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now hang on. There are millions of people on planet Earth at this time. Millions of people. What had happened? Well, see, God only required one thing between Adam and all these people here was what?
A blood sacrifice.
He required that. They quit offering blood sacrifices unto God and having any fellowship with Him at all. But he looked down upon the earth and there was still one man on planet earth after millions and millions of people were there. That every day he went out and offered a blood sacrifice for his sin. And he offered one for him, for his wife, and his three sons, and their three wives. God said, well, he's worth saving. And if you saw the genealogies, you would realize that Noah and Adam almost crossed. There were one like 20 years away. And there were some other righteous ones. Enoch. Walked with God, you know, it said, and God took him. He offered blood sacrifice. But when he looked upon this earth right here in Genesis chapter 6, you know where we are on this chart? We're right here where it's about to get destroyed. Blood. We're right there. And he finds one man and he tells that one man to design a boat. Gave him the designs to build this boat. You don't believe me? Rent the movie. I saw it. It landed in Washington somehow. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, I did not like that.
Which one?
It's like God told me to build this.
Almighty Evan?
Yeah.
It was pretty funny, I thought. I thought it was funnier than the other one. That was a little sexy for me. I didn't repent, though. I knew it was covered. Genesis chapter 6. Whole world doused in sin, not offering the blood sacrifices. And you know what God does? He destroys grandmothers and great grandmothers and little babies. Oh, how cute. And he killed them all in judgment. And he saved six men. I mean, eight altogether. Three sons, him, and three daughters and a wife. That's all he saves. You know what happens right after they land? What happens? They get drunk, and the Bible says, I'm not even sure, this wasn't on my list of things to do tonight. I think it's 8, 9. Go to 9. Watch it. I just want to get your opinion on this. Can we do that? I'd like to see this. Verse 18. 9:18. Y'all there? Watch this. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And by the way, Shemites are the olive-skinned, Middle Eastern-looking people. Ham, you know, are the black people, Hamites. And we're Japhethites. That's the three races of men. You say, well, how are they three different colors? I have no idea. I just know where they landed, and I know who's there. So watch this. And I know what Ham means. And Ham is the father of Canaan, and their three sons of Noah, and of them were the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandry, and he planted a vineyard. And by the way, this vineyard must have been regular wine. He got drunk. I'm always amazed at Baptists. They're afraid to take the little wine. They fall out. So I'm like, whew! You've got to be kidding me. I just thought I'd throw that out. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. That's some good stuff. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. How many people have heard that was the first homosexual act in the Bible?
I've heard.
That's garbage. It wasn't that he laid with the daddy. Ham laid with his mama. And how do I know that? Go to Leviticus 18. You know, aren't you glad you have the Word of God that tells you what it means? Let's see what the definition is. Can we see that? You would want your Bible pen now, I would think. Verse 8. Leviticus 18:8. And the nakedness of thy father's wife thou shalt not uncover, for it is thy father's nakedness. It describes it right there, what the problem was. He went and laid with his mom. God cursed him. But this isn't many... Hey, we're not out of the boat very long, boys and girls. And sins appear. What did not leave with the flood?
Sins.
And God knew that. Didn't freak him out. Because he had a plan from the very beginning, back here. Back here, before it ever even formed, he had a plan. You got to keep that in your mind. I mean, he knows he saves Noah, amen? And their three sons and their three daughters and his wife, right? And not very far out, guess what happens? Gets drunk, and people are laying with the wrong people. Okay, that's the dealy with it. Why did those sins come about?
Because they were sin.
Yeah. Now, he took two animals of every kind on that ark, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really true.
Yeah.
Why? Because he had to offer sacrifice. See, he had to take extra of the animals that could be offered as sacrifice. So God tells them to take extra because that is the one thing that every human being needs is to be covered with the blood. Now, listen, this Bible is not a mistake. It's not something just popped together and God just put it together and people go around. They have no clue what God was up to. And it was all because He had something before the foundation of the world that He wanted, which was over here. And so He had to use sinful man to make it happen. And so go to Genesis chapter 12. The world goes crazy. They start making a tower. Y'all heard the Tower of Babel? You know what the Tower of Babel was? They were going to charge God and take over the throne of God. And God comes down and looks at that. And look what He said before we go to Genesis 12. So the whole earth from the time that they had landed, now to Genesis chapter 11, the whole earth had gone to hell in a handbasket. You got it? It just messed up again. You would start to think, people would say, you know, these people have, and is there any law? Mm-hmm. No law yet. Yet the whole place is going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it's a mess. And so God, look at this. And by the way, I might just add this as a side note. Why do you think everybody in the world can just about speak English? Genesis 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Just like I told you, these matching places come back to task. We're becoming one language. Have you noticed that? The world is becoming unidirectional. You got it? Muy poquito. It is. I can speak in tongues now. It was funny. I was out with Chrissy, our new pianist, and I said, "Hey, señor, un momento, por favor. Agua con hielo." And she says, "You can speak Spanish." Well, that was my one line. You know, always learn one line in every language, you know. Konnichiwa in Japan is very good. At least to a girl, honestly. This whole earth that we're on is now after the flood. You understand that? We're after the flood. Adam's earth. You got it? We're after the flood, and it's the earth that you are on right now. And just as there was one language here, guess what there's going to be right over here?
One world.
Mm-hmm. You guys are starting to get it. What do you think Barack Obama's doing? He doesn't know what's going on. What he stole. No, you're exactly right. What are they trying to form?
One world government.
One world financial system, one world government, just like it was right there. And no mistake, and I do believe he's a puppet. I do not believe he's the Antichrist. I don't believe that. But I believe it's all happening just like it did back here. It's happening over there. And this is it. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was with one language and one speech. And it came to pass as it was journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said, "Go and let us break bricks and burn them thoroughly," and on and on. Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one." And that's what they're trying to achieve now. "And they are all of one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing," listen to me, "nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." That, whatever is in your mind, you can make happen.
Pretty much.
Now I want to show you how to make $1 million. I'm not joking. Roman, can I have your help, please? Yes. Can you grab me one of those chairs? Dave, would you grab me that chair right there? No, he's got that. Bring that. I need one of the folding chairs. I just set it right there. Now what? Give me a folding chair, Tim. What was that before it was a chair?
A tree. Or a seed.
You guys are quiet on this side. What was that?
You want this over here?
Yeah, please. Dirt. What?
Dirt.
How far back do you want to go? I want to go all the way back to the original. Here it is, guys. That was a thought.
Aww. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Of course.
Think about it. So, how many of these chairs have you think you've seen around?
Tons. Plenty.
Tons.
Plenty of them.
You think anybody made $1 million off those?
Probably.
That's just a thought. Someone comes along and says, that's nice. Hard to fit in the car. And he had a thought. Second thought. Made $1 million off the same cotton set. Isn't that weird? Nothing more than a thought. Someone comes along and says, yeah, but you know, it's not very comfortable. I mean, I could sit in that. That's the old Amish and Shaker's feel. But then if you got grace, you could probably have one of those chairs. We stuffed that thing with a bunch of cushions, it'd be comfortable to sit and watch TV. So they made that chair, and then someone said, yeah, but you know, that chair would be a lot better. I'm sitting there looking at that chair. If the legs would kick out. See if the legs would kick out. Someone even had that thought. You understand?
Yeah.
Whatever you think and imagine, you can do right now. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me tell you what. But the problem is your imagination is tainted with sin. So what do men do with the chair? They line them up in strip clubs and have lap dances in them. Because they're wicked and evil human beings made with filthy thoughts in their minds. Amen? And that's the problem, is our imagination runs rampant with wickedness. Amen? And so God scatters them abroad and changes their language. And God then says, I'm going to separate the earth. Now this is where it's...
Can I have a chair back?
Yes, you can.
You can have it.
And so we go along the way. We're really on this planet here. I know I'm having to extend this just a little bit. We're right there. But from this point on, God has the entire earth, but He separates one man in Genesis chapter 12.
Abraham.
Okay? This was Adam. Noah, I'm sorry. Adam back here. 2,500 years. So God separates one man. And He deals with that one nation from then on out. They are the children of God. I hate to inform you, you don't make that status. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Bless who? Abram. And make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them. So all the Gentiles down here on the earth, he was a Gentile too, he's now separated, and he is going to become Israel. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. That's a little bit later in the story. But the point is he separated them, and it was going to be this seed that God blessed. And if any of the Gentiles would bless this nation, God's blessings would come through Israel and fall to the Gentiles. There were beers and seers, blessers and cursers. Got it? And that's how it was for the whole earth from then on. And things didn't change in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Nothing changed. Look what he said in verse 3. I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. Who would be an example of the cursing? Pharaoh. He said to God, he said to Moses, who is God that I should hearken to him? And he destroyed that nation. The Amalekites destroyed them. The Amalekites destroyed them. I mean, he went around destroying anybody that cursed Israel. But he also blessed some nations and people along the way. Ruth. Rahab, the lying whore. You know, can you believe a lying whore can get help? She blessed that nation. That was the requirement. From there, there's only one way to get to God if you're a Gentile, and that is to bless the nation of Israel.
Goliath would be an example of the cursor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can go through the whole Bible and say, cursor, blesser, cursor, blesser, cursor, blesser. I mean, you can do it. It was the only way for a Gentile to find thing. Could they offer blood sacrifices?
Nope.
No, but if they bless that nation, those sacrifices they met counted for them as well. And on it went. That's fascinating. So you get to Matthew. Turn to Matthew. Time of Jesus. Things haven't changed any in Matthew. People say, well, Jesus came to save us. Well, then he lied. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 1 before we go to Matthew. I feel a 5-hour Bible study.
You're not halfway done yet, Dave. You're just starting.
Are you getting this? Reese pieces.
Mother Teresa.
Is she Mother Teresa?
Her real name.
Oh.
If you get an editor,
call her Teresa.
No.
Okay. I don't understand these girls. They have changed since I was there. You know, when I was young and was interested in girls, I'm not interested in anything but the Word of God anymore. I'm telling you, it's the only thing that makes any difference in my life is this book. If I could get people interested in this book, it turns me on. I'm not kidding you. I love my wife and dear, but she ain't anything compared to this book to me. In Luke chapter 1, y'all there? Turn a couple more pages, go to 68. We read it earlier, but you forgot it, so I'm reading it again. What was your name again from Bowling Green?
Brent.
Are you having a good time?
Yeah.
This is the best Bible study you've been to in a long time, hasn't it?
I'm sorry I can't say that. I just came from a week at Cedar Lake where I had about 21 messages in a week, so it was pretty intense.
Brother, I haven't stopped yet.
I'm still making the DVDs in my house and all that. So.
All right. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, verse 68. For he had visited and redeemed his people. You notice that? It didn't say everybody. It didn't say, I'm going to redeem the world. His people. Who do you think that might be? And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That didn't include me. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which has been since the world began, and on and on. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. What? Who said, Hello? I haven't worn the chimney off my roof. It's coming, though. I was in the barber shop, and she said, I said, should we add a little color? She says, before it turns loose or not? I'm like, you're not even funny anymore. I was in Nashville. I was really went to this swanky place, a $60 haircut. I don't know what somebody said, you ought to go here. They'll really cut your hair. I'm like, I just need a trim. Go in there, and I'm being treated by this beautiful, I mean, she was a 10 and a half. I mean, she's beautiful. I mean, I was afraid to even look. And she's cutting my hair, and I said, "Don't you think I need a little color in my hair?" And she says, "No, we women of Nashville love our men to be a little gray, a little fat." And I said, "Are you kidding me?" He says, "No, they don't run away nearly as fast that way." That was bad, wasn't it?
Very bad. It's worth $60, I guess.
I don't know. I wanted a little, you know, I asked her if spikes would help, and she said, "They're in the lot that will help you." That is not even nice.
It was another $60.
Can I give you another 60? Why to me this time? You know, listen, I may be ugly and a little bit fat. But you know worse than being ugly and fat? Being ugly and fat and broke. You know what I mean? That's bad. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. "And when he had called on him his 12 disciples..." Now, why do you think he called 12 disciples?
12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah, there's 12 tribes of Israel because now Abraham has got Isaac, and Isaac had...
Jacob.
And Jacob had... How many wives did Jacob have? Huh?
Three. I know Rebecca and
Leah. And then the two concubines.
All right. So well, two wives.
And the total of the kids were how many?
12.
And who was the last one born?
Benjamin.
And what happened when Benjamin died?
His mama died.
Rachel died. But after that, they had 12 kids, and each of them became a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
What?
She died when he was born.
Yeah.
And Manasseh said...
That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
You said when Benjamin died.
You said when
Benjamin died.
Oh, no, no. She died when
he was born.
Born.
Right.
Boy, turn on me just like that.
I'm listening. That shows I'm listening.
Oh, okay. So anyway, there's 12 tribes. And so guess what? How many apostles Jesus Christ calls?
12.
Why? One for each tribe. And they're going to be in this new city he's forming back here. Look in Revelation 22. And maybe 21. Everything's 12 around Israel. That's fascinating to me. Revelation.
Paul's tribe.
And I'm just going to cut into the context of verse 11. Verse 10. "And he carried me away in the spirit, and a great high mountain, and showed me a great city." That's the new city, Jerusalem. "The holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven." You ever heard that song? "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." You know? Well, that's what it's talking about. Just so you know. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, and the names were the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and there's 3 gates, and on and on. And guys, listen, make no doubt that that city is Israel. You got it? And each of those gates are have a foundation, and it's each of those apostles' names right there. 12. 12 is the number for Israel. Make no mistake about it. And God, go back to Matthew chapter 10. God made it very clear what these 12 were to do. And people don't believe their Bible. Listen, I ain't got anything for you to join. I don't want anything from you. I listen to me very carefully. I want you to believe this book.
Amen.
I want you to walk out the door believing God's Word.
Amen.
And quit faking it and playing religion and whatever you're doing. And what I want you to do is to believe the book.
Amen.
Here it is. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. If Jesus commanded you, would you do it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is what He commanded these 12. Go not in the way of the
Gentiles.
At this point, I would like a little, whoa, whoa.
Uh-oh.
Whoa, whoa. Just a little one. Because He just said, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we talked about the kingdom of heaven last week. It's that earthly kingdom. It has to do with that thousand-year millennial reign and that new city you just read about. You got it? In Matthew chapter 15 now. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Thyra and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan. Guess what she might be?
Gentile.
She's a Gentile. Came out of the same coast and cried on him and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a... I've never seen that in... You know, I've been to Sunday school my whole life. And they have little Jesus holding all the wee little lambs. Oh, he's just the friendliest little thing just to hold any little wee little lamb. Well, this little wee little thing ain't getting even talked to. He answers her not a word. Now, I'm telling you, that freaked me out the first time I read it. I'm like, where's Jesus that I heard about? Where's the loving Jesus? I'd never heard that. I asked a preacher about that one time, and he says, I've never seen that before. You ever read the Bible? Well, I've read it about 8 times. What, you skip that one? I mean, it's clear he answered her not a word. And you know what? His disciples had not had their Starbucks. I know, because her attitude is all screwed up. He said his disciples came and besought, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now that is the attitude of people that really want to save the world. Amen? I mean, guys, don't make any mistake. There is no confusion here. God, Jesus Christ just told him, God Almighty just told him not to go in the way of the Gentiles. And here's the first Gentile woman that approaches. And then he answers the lady. He says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I would put John 1 verse 11 there. Matthew 10 verse 6 in your Bible if you wanted to.
But she answered and he did help her.
Ah, through the covenant of Genesis chapter 12, which was this. Here was Israel. And she would have had to what?
Bless Israel. If she blessed Israel, she received a blessing.
That's how you get it. There was no Gentiles that can get saved in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not one. Not one Gentile you can show me in this Bible, not one Gentile ever gets saved in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sorry. Huh?
Except by blessing.
Don't get saved, get dealt with. They still have to...
Blessed.
They get a blessing, but they're not salvation yet. Now, they shall be saved. That's the right term. Genesis. Okay? So she blessed. Watch this. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he tells her again, listen to this. But he answers and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread, the word of God, to the nation of Israel, and cast it to the
dogs.
Now this is why she gets played out, Mac. Watch this. She says, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their masters." What did she do? She was a slave to Israel, and therefore God's blessing that fell on Israel would come down and bless her. Just like the covenant of Genesis chapter 12. Between Genesis chapter 12 then and Matthew chapter 15, we have a precedence. What is that precedence? That the only way for Gentiles to even approach near God is find a Jew and bless them. In fact, look in Zechariah 8. If you can't find Zechariah, go to Matthew and go to the front, two books. Watch this. All the way through. Same deal, same deal, same deal. Look in Zechariah 8. Same deal. I'm going to show you another one in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you can read Matthew 25 all the way down, and you'll get the gist of it pretty quick. In Zechariah 8, look if you will in verse 22. Zechariah 8, 22. He says, "Yea, many people and strong nations," Gentiles, "nations are always Gentiles, "shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus say the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men, 10 is the number of Gentiles, 12 is the number of Israel, 8 is the number of new beginning, 7 is a week, on and on. I mean, these numbers mean something. "These 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations. Even them shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, 'We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" Man, you need any more clarification to that, there's something very, very wrong. But just in case you do, I have like a little bit more, Steve, right? Always keep the ace in your pocket, baby. Luke chapter 7. Another Gentile. If you can't find Luke, it's after Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Go to 7. You know, the only thing that's sad tonight is that watermelon's been sitting out. It would have been better in that refrigerator.
I've got one in the fridge.
Oh my God, what? Keep an eye on that watermelon.
Jonas sent one today.
And it's in the fridge?
Yeah.
I love
it. Just because the watermelon's cold.
Well, if we want our money's worth before you get your watermelon.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to give you your money's worth. I mean, I'm the only preacher you know that works off a bite of watermelon and air supply. I mean, I've been totally convinced that you guys believe I can live off of rabbit tracks and air.
That would be easy.
Oh, what?
No.
Oh, no, you better go on.
All right, I better go on. She's getting rough on me. No, come on. I mean, look at this. This is unbelievable stuff. You don't get this for free. I mean, you know what? I watched people at the Southern Baptist Church the other day. I went there. And they were just sticking that money in for telling them lies. I mean, they were pumping the money in. I've never seen anything like it. They were grabbing out checkbooks and writing checks that were going to bounce. And they were good. And, you know, putting it all in for lies. For filthy, rotten lies. I grew up in a church, I'm not kidding you, that they taught me if I put my good on one side and my bad on the other, God was going to scale me up. It was great until I was about 15, then went... We're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There isn't a single Gentile that gets saved. And by the way, I hate to tell you this. I had a lady. She's so sweet. I ought to read the note. How many have seen my series on my website, Do We Go to Heaven When We Die? Oh, you guys got to watch
that.
I've
seen the title.
Huh?
I've seen the title.
Yeah, see, that's good. You're on the start. She wrote me, I don't even know where she's from. And she writes me, she says, you're the first person who's got the guts to preach this Bible. Do you realize that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and John 14, where he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and on and on, that place was coming back down to earth. They weren't going to heaven to see it. And there wasn't an Israelite ever that was ever told that they were going to go to heaven. They were told they were going to resurrect and go into a kingdom that God had promised them.
Amen.
Ezekiel 37. They never anticipated leaving the planet Earth. Thus, when Lazarus came out and he says, come out, Lazarus! Lazarus, and they unwrap him, he goes, ah! He didn't do that. You know why? Because when he was resurrected, he expected to be on the earth again. Okay, that just went over like a...
Well, I never
could
figure out what happened to him after he came back out. He
doesn't say. He did? I don't believe he died.
Okay. What happened?
I don't know.
He was translated?
He could be alive right now today. See, the thing is it doesn't tell you. And the reason I say that is because according to, after the resurrection, there is no second death. And there's some clear passages that you can't die twice.
Because
he could be translated or something, but he couldn't die twice. The rule is, once you died, you paid it. Once you're resurrected, there's something different. What happened? Look at me. I have not a clue. But I do know a couple things about the passage. He didn't stink anymore. Before, when they put him in, they said, Lord, he stinketh.
True.
When he comes back out, everybody's hugging him and acting like nothing wrong.
What about Elijah and Enoch?
Yeah, it's a mystery too, isn't it?
Well, doesn't the Bible say that they were taken to heaven? Or?
No, they were translated.
Both of them were translated? So we don't know what that word
is. Well, it's probably into this kingdom somehow. Enoch doesn't have to be.
Right.
Enoch was before all that, so I have no idea. I mean, those are good studies. I mean, you know, I don't have every answer, and I'm not here to prepare every answer for you. I'm just saying there's some things in this Bible that if you take it face value and you believe what the Word of God says, you can't just make it say whatever you think it's going to say, because you then become whatever all these religions have come.
Even in Matthew 27, I think when Christ was resurrected, it says many came out of the graves and went back into the old city.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and testified, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jesus Christ did not die again. Upon this, there is no power of the second death. He's not going to hell. He's never going to do that. I mean, there are some things when you sit back and really think about the Word of God, don't start speaking too fastly. You may not know the answer.
I've said that the two witnesses in Revelation may actually be Enoch and Elijah.
It's Moses and Elijah.
I forgot where I got that from, but...
Well, it is Moses and Elijah, and I can prove that.
Moses died, and those two...
From the Mount of Transfiguration, there
was another one. Yeah, and they're on the Mount of Transfiguration?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they will appear to bring in that kingdom.
Oh, wow.
They're in their transformed bodies. They are in a different body than what we got. So I'm saying there's some things you need to study out there, but all I'm saying for a fact, and you can take whatever you want to the bank, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's not one single Gentile that ever gets saved. You can't show me that anywhere in the Bible.
That's true.
Yet, we've been preaching out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, like it's the gospel written to the Gentiles. Luke chapter 7. Let's head on. Are you tired? Is this exciting for you? You got your thinking juices going? No, don't nod your head. You like that other place better.
No.
Don't even nod. I'm playing. Look, you can't be too timing on it.
You just asked if it was the best. You know?
Yeah, but you're nodding pretty hard now. All right.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I didn't get anything out of it. I've enjoyed it.
We're glad you're here, actually. And I hope you come back.
I will.
Luke chapter 7. Now, you guys know that we've done this a couple times, but I'm throwing you some big nuggets in here, right?
Oh, yeah.
So grab a couple of those along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, Steve, are you getting any of this? Mm-hmm. All right. Luke chapter 7. You all there?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2. They can hear you on the internet. You know why? That's why God said, women, be silent. I'm joking. I've always wanted to pull that one.
I thought you missed it earlier when you didn't go just that far and say that man fell because of the woman.
No.
Yeah.
Woman is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That's where it started, right? That's where I said you were going when you said that.
Listen, I'm married for almost 30 years. I ain't stepping in doo-doo now. There's a few things you learn in 30 years. Yes, dear. Where's the fruit? Let me eat too.
I'll follow you.
Verse 2. Luke 7, verse 2. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto them, sent unto him the elders of the Jews. Why didn't he go himself? He's a Gentile. He knew that he didn't have a right to approach. Beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Notice the colons. What did we talk about, that little English colon? What's coming after is going to be more important. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a... So where was that Luke centurion servant?
He was a blesser.
And therefore God, according to the covenant back here in Genesis chapter 12, owed it to the blessers. That's how it worked. Now, Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, talked about the death, the burial, and resurrection. That wasn't a mystery. Jonas talked about it. Jonas said, I was in the whale's belly for 3 days, 3 nights and 3 days. So shall the Son of Man be in the whale's belly 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. Right? I mean, no kidding that everybody knew he was going to die. Right? I mean, look, they were a little confused about it all. Go to Mark 16. Mark 16. Did I say Mark 16?
Yeah.
What? Well, Matthew 16 didn't look like anything I even recognized. I don't want Mark 16. Hang on just a second. Matthew 16. Alright, verse 21. Not yet, but I'm going to, baby.
Verse
21. He's sitting around with the 12, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elder and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised the third day. I would say he's letting go of the death, burial, and resurrection. Amen?
Yep.
Now, did they understand it? No, they didn't. Watch. And Peter took him and began. I have had dreams about this verse. Peter taking the Lord and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine that? You're talking about kahunas? That would take a little bit. Grab the Lord and say, hey, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And you know, when they came to get him, that high priest, That's high priest serving that got the ear chopped off. Man, Peter was swinging at that guy's neck, and the guy ducked, and it clipped his ear off. He was going to kill the man for taking Jesus. They didn't want the death, burial, and resurrection to happen. They didn't understand it. But he explained it. And he even says in Matthew chapter 12, look at Matthew chapter 12. Verse 38. What verse did you say? That was a different verse. Well, okay, we may... Yeah, okay. Well, this one will do good. Verse 38. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he said, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the well's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Did they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection?
Yeah.
Did he expose it to them?
Yeah.
It wasn't a mystery. But then all of a sudden, all this stuff comes along, and God loses one of his disciples. He deceives one, but they pick up 12 in Acts chapter 2. Peter standing up with the 11, right? That's 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
But then a couple years later, he saves the Apostle Paul. You know, that's fascinating to me. Does that fascinate you? Why would you save another man? You got 12, they've saved 3,000, they've got 5,000. There's 8,000 people that have been going to be saved or have a chance at salvation in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Why do you need one more fellow? Well, go to Romans 16 and we're going to start wrapping up. Boy, the internet's been quiet. I just hardly had any text. Anybody on there?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I thought they'd chat up or say amen or do something. I think they've all died. Romans 16. Now, this is what you got to get, boys and girls. If you miss this, you've wasted 2 hours of your time. You got it? You've wasted it. You have blown the time. If you don't get this, you've missed it. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel?
Paul's
gospel. The gospel he got from direct revelation, according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, from the Lord, from heaven. You got it? That's funny, Mike. Mike wrote Wayne says, you got to let Barry have the liberty to joke around. It goes around with his teaching. Funny. All right. So I have this timeline ticking along, and we're at Acts chapter 9. Cross has already happened, Acts chapter 2, 3. They've got the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. And then God saves the Apostle Paul, and according to that, it had been kept secret since the world began. And this is this mystery that he had before the foundation of. Since then, we've been talking about the sins. But now we're going to be talking about something that was a mystery that was completely hid. They didn't know it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they had never taught it. Jesus Christ didn't teach it. Some people try to trick you and say, well, you think Jesus knew? I don't know. I believe he's God. He had the plan. I think he probably knew, but hey, there's no verse that tells me that. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Trick me. But this is what I do know. Hang on just a second. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was what?
Yes.
Kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Well, go to 1 Corinthians, just a page or two toward the back, and go to where I was in verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a
mystery.
Everybody, mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained when?
Before
the world began. Right there, we got it. We got it pegged. There ain't. Listen, if there's some mistake in your theology, it's because you haven't let the Bible mean what it says. There it is. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the mystery of verse 7. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
The it is the mystery of verse 7. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There was something that Paul got that was kept secret since before the world began. And had they known it before the cross, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
Now, don't you want to know about it? They knew about the death, burial, and resurrection. People say, well, I got to say because of the death, burial, and resurrection. Here's the fact. You did not.
That's
right. You want to know what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Paul preached the death, burial, and resurrection too. But he had the S factor to it. That S factor is everything.
Amen.
You know what that S factor is? Let me show you. Go to 1 Corinthians 15.
Keep it down, David.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach. What gospel? The one he got that was a mystery. That was kept secret how long? Since the world began. We got it. Pegged. Which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you may be saved. I want you to look. It says you are saved. Look at the difference between Peter's. Hold on to here and go to Acts chapter 2. Man, this stuff is too bad. Good. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. If you get there, just sit until I get there. I'm going to find it eventually. Acts 2, verse 47. Look at the difference in the terminology.
Amen.
Praising God and having favor with all the people and the Lord attitude to the church daily, such as
should.
One said, are saved. Well, just a quick English lesson. I should be rich or I are rich. Are they different things?
Amen.
Their difference is night and day. I had a guy arguing with me on Facebook that why are we having this English lesson? Because it matters!
Amen.
Someone just zapped
me.
Leonard, that's good. You keep taking notes so one day you can preach like me too. That's what I did to Brother Moore. In Acts chapter 2, he says, should be saved. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. When was that? Acts 9. You got it? That's Acts 9. I know it wasn't Acts 8. He's out killing Stephen in 7 and 8. It was at least Acts 9:15. Could have been a little bit later? Absolutely. But it was at least no earlier than Acts 9:15. You got it? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Hey, good news. Jesus Christ became sin for us.
Amen.
How many sins do you have now?
None.
How many sins does that whore have that's down the road?
None.
How about that drug abuser?
None.
How about that guy that beats the crap out of his wife every night and intimidates his kids? How many sins does he have?
None.
But you know why? There was a mystery that God had that He died for all sin. He had forgiven them of all the sins. All the sins have been wiped out. Left, right, indifferent. You say, hey, should he beat his wife?
No.
Well, if she needs it, no. No, he shouldn't. I'm just kidding, honey. People always wonder why I don't bring my wife. They think I beat her. And she has these bruises and stuff. But I can assure you that if I beat her, it's because she deserves it. See, I'm talking big because she ain't here. If she was here, I would be in deep poopy. No, I'm kidding.
Funny how you're so scared of somebody that's
5 foot. Kill the other cat and see what happens to you. And listen, I've been at this game a little longer than you. These little things have... Why do you think? Honey, why don't you take and eat? Okay! Can I have more, please? If I'd have been back there, I'd have ate the whole tree. Amen?
You might as well have said Jake
first.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. There was something introduced with Paul that couldn't be introduced before Paul. That's why Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul is bringing salvation to the world. That's why he ran the 3 missionary journeys that he did. He had a message that was uniquely different than the 12. He wasn't trying to get people into a kingdom. His hope was getting them out of this world through the rapture, the catching up of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. He isn't trying to get them to go through that kingdom. Not one time. He wrote half the New Testament. Listen to me. Half the New Testament. And he doesn't prepare a Gentile ever to get through to that kingdom. Not one time he prepares you. Over here, Jesus is preparing the Gentiles to get into that kingdom. You know what he says? Bless them when they're hungry. Feed them when they're thirsty. Give them drink. Bless them. 13 times the apostle to the Gentile, not one time tells you to bless a Jew. You know why? He has the S factor introduced. Look at it. Verse 13. Watch this. You'll want to underline this. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you what?
All.
Going to forgive you?
No.
Haven't forgiven. Already done. Hey, listen, your sins, everybody's sins in Franklin, Kentucky, Auburn, Kentucky, Russellville, Kentucky, Bowling Green, Kentucky, even Obama's sins
Amen.
Have been paid for.
Amen.
There isn't a single sin that hadn't been paid for. You know what? They just don't believe it.
That's right.
So our job is to go out and teach the mystery that was given to the Apostle Paul. What was it? That in that death, that Christ died for all of your sins.
Amen.
And thus, the DVR plus the S factor. Without the S factor, you've got a bunch of Baptists, now listen to me, running down to the altar, confessing their sins, trying to get it off their shoulders, just like Adam and Eve with their fig leaves. But when they hear the voice of God, they run and hide. It's exactly the same. So you either have fig leaves or you have the blood offering that God offered for your sins, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And when God's looking at me, He isn't looking at the filthy human being that I am, and I know I am. He's looking at the blood of His precious Son.
That's right.
Amen.
And you know what? That ain't being taught. I'm telling you, it ain't being taught. Take me to any church you want me to, and I'll sit and listen to them, and I'll show you time and time and time they're battling sin. That's all it is. It's all about sin. Well, I got some great news. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll end here tonight. Unless you guys want to come up with another $29.95.
Sure.
This is the verse right after I got saved. It grabbed me. I'm going to start in 18. But the verse I want is 19 and 21. Watch this. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now listen to the wording very carefully here. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses onto them. Is God imputing any trespasses onto you?
No.
You know, I heard Jerry Farwell, before he died, say that it was because of sins of New Orleans.
Yeah.
The homosexuality, that God judged them. God is not judging sin anymore. He made His Son to be sin for you.
Amen.
He made His Son to be that filthy, rotten thing that you are. And He killed His own precious Son in your behalf. Are you listening to me? Just like the lamb that God took for Adam and Eve and killed that little baby innocent lamb and cut it up and skinned that lamb and put the skins on them so that they would remember the redemption that that lamb had to pay for, because that lamb was your Savior and that lamb is your God and that lamb is your sacrifice and that lamb is the thing you need. You need the blood.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I want to confess them. You can confess till hell freezes over and God will never forgive you of your sins. You know what He says in Ephesians chapter 2? He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Say, well, I'm going to walk the aisle for Jesus. Walking the aisle for Jesus won't save you. It's not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Say, well, I'm going to get baptized. It doesn't matter. You can't get baptized to wash away your sin. You need the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Say, go to a church that baptizes, you ought to quit. You're baptized by the Spirit into the body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. You don't even have to partake of it. God just takes you and plummets you into His dear body and identifies you with His Son.
Amen.
Verse 19 again, watch it. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses onto them. Is that great news?
That's amazing.
And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God's not mad at you. He's already paid for your sins.
That's right. Amen.
Your sins are gone. Amen.
Amen.
I tied it from you. Don't worry, they're doing a better job than you guys are. Thank you, Leonard. He's a little fired up this evening. You know why? It's 113 degrees and he knows what hell might feel like. Now watch. Verse 21. For He, that's the God of verse 20. You see that? For He, God, hath made Him, that's Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Look at me. You're looking at a person as righteous as Almighty God.
Amen.
He gave me His righteousness.
2 Corinthians 5:20.
He gave me His righteousness.
Romans 4:5.
What do you laugh? That's why Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, you are complete in Him. Mm-hmm. Beverly, you getting anything out of this?
Perfect. Clothed in His righteousness, transported our lives.
Guys, listen, it's the greatest news I've ever heard.
Amen.
It was the S factor. And it had been kept secret when?
Since
but you know what everybody's doing? It's trying to live out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Like they're spiritual Israel. And they're either really beers or seers, and I can tell you that they would end up on the seer side. Because Jews fell, and now the only way is through the portal of grace.
Amen.
That's great.
So God had a mystery, but he kept it a secret. Didn't reveal it to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, apostles. But he saved one out here called the Apostle Paul, born out of due time, the Bible says. Make no mistake, this stuff is real. And you know what? You either believe the Bible tonight or you don't.
That's right.
But I tell you what, if you believe the Bible, you've got a blessing tonight.
Amen.
If you don't and you're wrestling with it, you're in turmoil. And listen, I'm saying this, we've got a lot of people watching us on the internet. I'm telling you, just for example, listen to me. The realization is this Bible was designed in perfect fashion.
Amen.
Perfect. Perfect. And our job is to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the realization is that anybody who wants to be saved can be saved.
Right.
Here's what you can't do. You can't pray to get saved. It'd be a work of righteousness. You'd go, well, I prayed and God forgave me. It said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God. Here's the dealie with it. You can't get down on your knees and blow snot at an old-fashioned altar. You brag about that. It isn't about water baptism. This is what it's all about. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. Believe what? Believe the mystery that God has kept secret, that Christ died for all of your sins and they're all gone. Mm-hmm. And if you will relax in that and just say, Lord, that's enough. I'm trusting you. God will save you.
Amen.
If you try to do a work, if you try to muster up something that you're counting on, you have fallen from grace. Galatians chapter 5 says, if you're justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. See, it is the letting go and allowing Christ. He's already done it. It was done 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. He is not going to get back on the cross and die for your sins again and again and again and again. He did that once, Hebrews says. It's done. And no confession is going to get you covered. He's already covered it with the blood. If His blood isn't good enough for you, your confessions aren't even going to mount up to a hill of mountain.
Not even close.
You understand? It ain't even going to come up high. It is about the finished work of the cross.
Amen.
And so, I always describe it as like hanging onto a rope. And that rope has got a certain length to it, and that rope is the length of your life. Here it is. And down here there's rocks. And everybody starts out on this rope, and they're sliding down that rope, and when they get to the end of their life, they fall off and they die, and they hit those rocks. And the Lord's coming along and says, listen, everybody that's ever been on that rope, everybody that's ever been on that rope has died. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Everybody on that rope has died. But if you will believe me and let go of the rope and believe that I will save you, I'll save you. And so that man on that rope lets go with one hand. He's hanging on and he grabs back. He says, no, you got to completely let go. And the moment you get saved is the moment you do this. Look, if he doesn't catch you and he doesn't save you, you were going to go to hell anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't anything you can do.
Amen.
Let go and let him save you. Quit struggling with it. Quit fighting it. Quit doing whatever you're doing. Trust the Lord. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Believe that He paid it all for you. Believe that He is the supreme sacrifice for all. There will never be a need for another blood sacrifice for sin ever again.
Amen.
Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's the good news. Amen. People sing that song and then they try to get saved and do things to get saved. Look, all you have to do is relax. I wrote this song right after I got saved. And it's a real simple song. The day, 2 days after I got saved, my daughters thought it was a hymnal. I want to teach it to them. All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price, isn't He gracious and nice? That all you got to do is believe. That's it. There's nothing left to do. To Him that worketh not. Romans 4 says. Him that worketh not. But believeth on Him. So fantastic.
Amen.
There's nothing better. So we'll be back next Monday. Hope you will be back next Monday. I had a guy in Cincinnati. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to a Bible class. Really? I said, yeah. He said, where? In Kentucky. He said, that's about 7 hours. Seven, 8 hours for you, isn't it? I said, it's about seven. And he said, now you're making me feel guilty. So he's in Cincinnati. So he says, mind if I drive down 5 hours to see you one Monday night?
Oh, wow.
I said, come on.
Awesome. You know what? I guarantee you it'd be worth it if you drove across the country. If you received Christ, it would be the greatest thing ever happened.
Amen.
All right, I'm done.